rescued? Well, I got rescued, okay? And I just love the fact that Pastor Steve, he just truly has the heart of the Father. He loves. He just loves. Where he could have just kind of kicked you to the curb, but he loves. And that's who we have. We have a Father like that. So we are in a great place, a great place. Amen? Praise God. You guys feeling good? You guys okay? You guys ready to hear the word of God? Amen. Well, listen, I'm very blessed because I come in a very transitional. We're talking about transitions, right? We're talking about transitions. I come in a very transitional point of this message because this seals the last 9 weeks that Pastor Steve has been speaking of the topic of first fruits. First fruits. Pastor Steve has been passionately talking to us, preaching to us, imparting upon us the idea of first fruits. And first fruits is not something that he just made up. Oh, let me just talk about something. What am I going to talk about? First fruits. No. He didn't just come off the wall and just pull down a topic like first fruits. This is a kingdom principle that must have been passed on. We must pass this on. You have to grab a hold of this because it unlocks the heart of God. Giving. It unlocks the heart of God. I'm going to ask that you just go ahead and forgive me in advance because I'm fighting this little cough. You know, it's different from just your average cough. When a Samoan has a cough, you might just get blessed. Huh? When a Samoan coughs, you might just get showered. Huh? And when you get showered by a Samoan pastor's cough, it's a baptismal, baby. Just take it and receive it. It's yours. That's my gift to you, okay? It's a baptism. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand that last week, without making light of what took place, last week, just countless hearts came to give to God. There are those of you that you couldn't wait to give to God. There were those of you that just with hearts of anticipation, you knew doggone well that God kept giving when he could have stopped. God kept giving when he had no reason to keep on keeping on, but he continued to give to you. So when it was your opportunity, you couldn't wait to tear one of these green envelopes off and put an expression of your heart into that envelope. And say, God, this is my seed because I believe. I believe in every one of your words. And that's what you did. And you came and you gave. I was fortunate enough to be with Pastor Bethel and Pastor Rosie, Pastor Marissa last Sunday as they also gave. And they gave so good that they gave their green envelope and they put it into a basket of fruit. Of fruit. Like, not plastic fruit. Fruit, like ripe fruit. That might not mean nothing to you, but when you're a Samoan, ooh, boy, fruit. Somebody said, hey, Pastor Josh, does anybody have any tahini in here, man? We can get this going on right now. I'm like, hey, hold on, that's not your fruit. That's God's fruit, man. But I wanted to talk to you about that because you should have already been it should already have been instilled inside of you that the last several weeks that Bishop has been talking about first fruits, you'd know these certain traits of God in regards to giving. Number one is God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when you give and you give from the heart. When you give, you don't give reluctantly. You give knowingly that your gift is from the heart. And that's what connects your heart with God's heart. Because God's not a fake God. He's a real God. He's a loving God. Love connects with love. Yeah, okay. Praise God for the three up front. God connects with the... Amen? When you give... with the heart. Ain't nothing worse than to give something and your face and your words are saying that you're giving from the heart. And then when you go to take it, it's like, huh? Don't do that. That's not acceptable. Especially when you're giving to the giver of gifts. That might not catch you. That'll probably hit you later on. But listen, don't worship the gift so much that you're not willing to give the gift to gain the giver. Somebody hear what I'm saying here? The giver of gifts wants you to understand the joy of giving. That's why everyone came last week with a heart to give. That's why in the Bible it says, let every man give according to their heart's desire. Because I don't want someone to give and give reluctant. I don't want you to really give something if you don't really mean to give me it. Huh? You think God really can use your something-something up in heaven? Your currency is of value past the pearly gates? No. Nuh-uh. It's the heart in which you give that brings value. That's what it triggers the heart of God. You give and you give cheerfully. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I want you to know that because God can't be outgiven. Ooh, that's a good one right there, Maynard. Uh-huh. Coach, like that one. Radio, like that one. God cannot be outgiven. When you give, God gives back. When you give, God gives again. When you think you give in a lot, God gives in abundance. God gives so much so that he can't just truck it out the front door. He got to open up all the windows of heaven so that he can pour out a blessing far more than you're able to contain. God wants to pour out a blessing in your finances. God wants to pour out a blessing at your job site. God wants to pour out a blessing in your family, in your marriage, upon your children, upon yourself. Why? Because he knows you. He created you after all. He knows what makes you tick. He knows every hair on your head, if you have any. That wasn't that funny. Huh? Little Tommy went to junior high, and in junior high, the teacher said, okay, all you kiddos, I want to ask you a question. If you had $1 million, would you give it to God? And all the kids say, yeah, we're going to give it to God. Yeah, just take it. And then the teacher said, if you had $1,000, would you give it to God? Yeah, I'll give it to God. How about if you only had $1, would you give it to God? And all but one kid said, everyone said, yeah, take it, but one kid. So the teacher said, okay, I'm not worried about y'all, but I got a problem over here. So he walks up to the little Samoan bald-headed kid. And he says, why you don't say nothing? He said, because I only got $1. God doesn't want you to give out of your abundance. He wants you to give out of your heart. Huh? Come on. Come on. What you see is a seed. What God sees is a harvest. What you see is one little measly seed. But what God sees is a harvest. You're looking to count the apples on the tree, but God counts the trees in the apple. You need to plant that seed and then expect a harvest. You need to plant the seed and expect, come on, plant the seed, expect the harvest. Give God praise, somebody. Hallelujah. God is so good that they gave him his own name. They gave him a name. They dubbed him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God that provides. What does he provide? He'll provide for you anything and everything that you would ever need, from kingdom come to kingdom gone. God will provide. God will provide. Say that with me. Give the Lord a praise offering, somebody. God will provide. Hallelujah. I can't outgive God. I give and he gives back. I keep giving and he gives more. I got this big old spoon ladle, and God has this humongous shovel. I give him a little blessing, and he smacks me upside the head with his. I'm always going to lose when it comes to outgiving God. I'm not going to outgive God. Listen, don't you hold back your praise. Don't you hold back your worship. And don't you hold back your first fruits from God. Hallelujah. God initiated the principle of first fruits. God initiated that. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, it will never cease. Why? Because Jesus was God's first fruit. He had an envelope just like y'all did last week. He opened up that envelope. And he looked around heaven. And God said, oh, this is for my hito. This is for Hita. This is for my family down at CWC. I'm a seed, a first fruit, because I love them. And he looked around heaven, and he found out, he tallied up the bank account. He valued up all the things that are of worth up in heaven. And he took everything that was of value, and he bankrupted heaven. And he put it all inside the green envelope. And his name was Jesus. He seeded his, Y'all know? You getting what I'm saying? You getting what I'm saying? Jesus was the seed gift. And on a tree, on a lowly hill called Golgotha, God gave his first fruit. And just like you did on your envelope, God wrote his request for harvest. And it was you. You are his harvest. You are the reason that God gave his gift. Me? Me? Yes, you. God gave, and he gave without reservation. God gave, and he wasn't hesitant. God gave, and he gave without repentance. He's not giving it to you, so, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to give you that gift. Can I have that back, please? Huh? He didn't give expecting anything back in return. He gave because he meant to give. And that's what he desires for you and I. Give God a praise, somebody. God the Father gave. Just like many of you gave last week. I want you to know that your joy in giving comes from the Father. You love to give because that's God's heart. I know a lot of you. I know many of you. I know a lot of your personal doings, and some of you, you shame me by the way you give to people that sometimes you don't even know. But it's because you have the likeness of the Father inside of you. You'll never go wrong by giving. Hey, but I don't want to give because the last time I gave, they tore me up. I don't want to give. I'm not going to give that much because the last time I gave, they took advantage of me. I'm not trying to give no more because, look, I got to survive too. Let me tell you something. Love isn't love until it's given away. And love is going to hurt when you give from the heart. That's a good one. Give God praise. Colossians chapter 1:19 says, for God was well pleased to have all of this fullness dwell inside of him. What does that mean? That means that God is a thoughtful giver. He thought it out. He thought it through. He was saying, what can I give him? What can I give her that would cause them to be benefited, not just now, but forever and ever and ever and ever? What can I do? What can I gift them? He thought it through. Let me tell you something. Not like you and I. You and I, we like calculators. We just calculate. 5, carry the 1, multiply 4, MC equals pi square, blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. God's thoughts are much, much more higher than our thoughts. And when God thinks things through, he thinks it out into finality. So when God gave his gift of Jesus Christ, then it could be understood what Jesus Christ said way back on Calvary's tree when he uttered the words, it is finished. What he was saying is, all that you would ever need from here on out, partner, look, you're square. You're taken care of. I thought it out already. You're good. You just need one element. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Put your hands together. God gave enthusiastically. He gave enthusiastically. What that means for us, for you and I, is that God will never take back what he gave. He will never take back what he gave. He meant to do it. He meant to do it. Polynesians are a rare breed, a rare people, Polynesians. Huh? When in the Aloha State, Hawaiians, when you come, they greet you with the same word that they send you off with. And it really isn't a hi. It's more of a frame of heart. Because they say, aloha. Like, what happened to what's up, yo? What happened to, hey, partner? You know, you do the bump or whatever, copacetic, whatever. I'm giving it up. I'm too much? Okay. Hawaiians, they put their heart right out there. You come into their home or you come into, and they say aloha. When you leave, they do the same thing, aloha. Why? Because love, right off the top. And if life was as simple as two phrases, is it love or is it war? Huh? Then we'd be in a better place. Because they put their intention right out there. Samoans do the same thing. The word for aloha in Samoan is alofa. Just one letter change. The Tongans, they change it up. They just kind of cut it like in half. They want to find a faster way of saying it. They just say ofa. Right? Faster. Why? What am I getting at? I'm saying that unless you could do this and you can do that and you could do a million things and you can give 100 billion things, but if you have not love, it's but a clanging cymbal. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to give, give in love. Put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, God, gave his first fruit. He gave his very best. He gave till it hurt. He gave his son, Jesus. God had a green envelope as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, it says, but each one in his own order, Christ was the first fruit. Christ was the first fruit. I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of things that we continue to grow in on, principles that we continue to add to our Christian faith, our Christian maturity. But if you miss that one point right there, that's the catalyst for everything else. Don't ever get it twisted that you're the reason. Don't ever get it to the point where you start thinking that everyone needs to step aside because you just arrived. Don't ever get it to the point where you feel as though had it not been for me, this family would all go to pots. Huh? Don't ever think that you are the one. Because I'm going to tell you something. As good and as big and as bad as you think you are, I know someone who's gooder, who's bigger, and who's badder. And had it not been for him, you wouldn't be around. God is the reason. Come on, put your hands together. If you agree with that statement, put your hands together. God is the reason. Hallelujah. God gave his first fruits, and his first fruit was Jesus. When he gave his first fruit, he wrote on the back of that envelope, your name. He wrote on the back of that envelope detailed descriptions of your circumstances. He knows all about it. He knows about your woes. He knows about your failures, your shortcomings. He knows about your trials, your tribulations, your temptations. He knows about your relationships. He knows about your dark secrets. And still, the Bible says that God commanded his love towards you. He said, love. He said, love, look here. You are going to love them. You better get over there. You better shower them. You better pour it out all over them. I know they're a knucklehead. I know they did it again. I know they keep falling. I know they disrespected. I know. Even still, I want you to love over them. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sin. You will, because love never fails. Because love. Come on, put your hands together, somebody. You're God's harvest. You're what he wanted. His thoughts were towards you. It's all about you. This is where you begin to start realizing how precious you are. Because if you let yourself be honest with yourself, you ain't all that. I'm not one of those weird preachers. I'm just going to beat you up and let you go home and grab a taco on the way back. You know, I'm not. I'm saying that if I got together and started having a deep conversation with you, and then we pulled in Tom, Larry, and Joe, and we continued to have more deep conversations between all five of us, and 55 of us, and 505 of us, all of our conversations will still only match up to not even a hill of beans in relations to one word from a master's voice. What am I saying? I'm saying that God spoke and brought you into position because he wanted someone to love, and you're that someone. That's why he wrote your name on his little green envelope. God loves you. You're the masterpiece. He's the master, but you're the masterpiece. He created you. He formed you in his likeness and in his image. The Bible says that you were created just a little lower than the angels. How should I be feeling? I'm going to tell you how you should be feeling. You should be feeling like you're the head and not the tail. Huh? You should be feeling like you're the first and not the last. You should be feeling like you are more than a conqueror through him. Huh? That even if I should drink poison, deadly poison, huh, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? What is all of this? It's all to tell you just how important you are to God. God put his son, Jesus Christ, in that envelope so that you might know that it's all for you. His prized possession was given just for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, I mentioned it a second ago. God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I want you to bow your hearts with me just for a second. I want you to just know something. I don't even want you to think about it. There ain't no thinking it out. You can think until your thinker wears out, and you still won't get it. You just need to know this. Know that God loves you. Know that God loves you with an everlasting love. Know that God's love is a stubborn love. You can't undo the love of the Father. Just like you can't merit the love of the Father. You can't earn his love. I want you to know this. Know this. Let it be a resolve inside your heart that God loves you. His thoughts towards you are miraculous. For what is man that you would be mindful of me? Or the Son of Man that you would visit? What is that saying? It sounds poetical, but let me just tell you. Yeah. God, in all of his splendor and all of his glory, chooses to love you, and nothing will change him from wanting to love you. Not even you. You can run. You can reject. But I want you to know something. He's still going to love you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask this question. If you're saying, Pastor Josh, all of what you're saying is pretty and beautiful, but what does that mean for me? That means that all he wants from you is to receive it. It's a free gift. He's giving it. God is not only a missionary God, but he's a charitable God. It's a gift. If you've never, ever received Jesus Christ into your heart, you've not known this love of the Father that everyone else seems to experience, and you're saying, Pastor Josh, I want that. I receive that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Just very quickly raise your hand, put it down. Amen. Amen. No one's looking around, just a very private, personal moment. Some very precious individuals. They already said they want. If you've given your heart to the Lord once upon a time, but you realize that you stopped a long time ago, you haven't been giving to God. I'm not talking about a dollar, $5, $1,000. I'm not talking about that gift. I'm talking about your heart. The whole message today is your heart. If you haven't been given to God, like you know you're supposed to be given to God, I want you to raise your hand. Put it back down. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being open. Heavenly Father, those of us that have raised our hands, you know why we did it. You know our heart's content. I pray that you would minister to our hearts. Touch us as only you can. Change us. Motivate us. Use us. However you want, but may we be pleasing in the sight of God. I ask this now in Jesus' matchless, matchless name. I want everyone in this place just to go ahead and repeat this prayer. Matter of fact, won't you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. You've been sitting for a while. Go ahead and put your hands out right. This is a practice that Pastor Steve even had us do a couple weeks back. Just as a sign of not just surrenderance, but a sign that you're ready. A sign that I'm not just ready to give you me, Jesus, but I'm ready to receive you. Not just giving, but I'm also receiving. Our hands are yours. The gift inside of our hands are fashioned towards you, God. I just praise your name. I thank you for this privilege. Had it not been for your son, Jesus Christ, the curtain might never have been rent, and I might not ever have had this opportunity to come into your presence. So thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me just go ahead and say this. Jesus, Pastor Steve had mentioned, and I'm just going to reiterate it. I'm just going to say it again. Expect your harvest. Expect your harvest. It's right there. Don't give up. Don't stop short. Don't just walk away short of your blessing. Hang in there. You gave and you gave a very costly gift. Like the woman with the alabaster box who broke it. She didn't spare any expense. She gave it and gave it cheerfully. I want you to know something. God's blessings are aimed towards you. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everyone. Come on and put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, listen, there was a, before you go, I'm just going to ask the first time visitors, go ahead and make your way to the right side of the sanctuary. My left, your right. Pastor Nicole is going to come over there, and she's just going to talk to you a little bit, give you a little quick orientation about this body, this church. The rest of you, I want you to know that since you gave God your first fruits of your week, the rest of your week is going to be blessed. God bless you. May He cause His face to shine upon you.